Hello, and welcome to episode 553 of the League Rundown. This is your 2025 First Stand Finals review, and this episode is lovingly entitled, First Team Standing, Hit the Lights. I am your host, Kangas, and I'm joined by two esteemed co-hosts. Up first, we have fresh out of the can, it's Badger.
I was trying to think of a first strike joke, and unfortunately, turn out the lights, the party is over on this one, so we move on to the next thing.
Well, it's a good thing that you didn't spend too much time thinking of first strike, because it's called first stand, not first strike.
I know. It's my last chance to call that was part of the joke for the first strike for the year, so...
Okay. Well, that's strike one on you right now. But coming in after, we have RMC.
Minions have spawned, and why stand when you can sit? I'd rather be first team sitting right now.
We were the first. Wait, damn it, that would have been a banger tweet. Oh shit, dude, why do you gotta give your best material after the fact, man? That would have popped off on Reddit.
Don't worry, Kangas, we've always got next year.
Oh no. Also, knowing the collective zeitgeist of League of Legends, somebody had to have made that joke. There's no way you're that funny compared to everybody else. Although I wouldn't be too surprised. All right, well, that's it for the cast. Today we're going to talk all about the first stand semifinals and finals, because that's all that happened over the last weekend. And then we have a fun little game. I teased it in last week's episode. Also, shout out to anybody who made it through last week's episode. We thought we had a fix for my audio and that we were going to use a good mic. Turns out that didn't work. It ended up being my AirPod audio the entire time. You're a real one if you made it through. I understand if that was too much for you to handle and you would rather not bleed from your ears. So, but we'll try and figure out a fix for that later. But we teased last week on the episode that we were going to do a fun little game this week that RMC came up with. So RMC is just full of creative ideas. Happy that we get to run with one of them now, where we're going to build rosters using only one player from each team of the teams represented at first stand. So, up first, though, is some news. So let's cover that globally. It is confirmed. Last week, we talked about it, that Mark Z had teased an announcement about changing to the format. But now it is official. Not only is Fearless Drafting here to stay permanently, that has now been officially confirmed by LOL Esports, but the LTA social account said this will cause for changes to the format of Split 2. New information coming soon. TM. So let's take predictions. Badger, what are your predictions for the format changes? I think best of three is like the obvious one, right? But like, do you think double round robin, single round robin, like any funky things?
I mean, ideally, in an ideal world, it's best of three round robin, but we don't live in an ideal world at this point. So unfortunately, I think we'll get the best of threes, but we won't get the double round robin.
Okay. All right. So you're holding off on that. RMC, what do you think? Any predictions?
I predict that we are going to get... Okay, so first we got teased that there was going to be a something changing, and then we got teased. Then we got told it's going to be full Fearless, and teased that there's going to be other changes. So I predict that we're going to get some sort of change with another tease, and then we won't find out what's going on until the very first day of LTA North.
You know what? That not knowing what's actually going to happen until the day before is probably the most... on brand. I unfortunately know what's going to happen, so I can't make a prediction because I'm a good broadcaster and I'm not going to leak any information.
Okay, Kangas, stay silent if it's going to be a best of, if it's going to be single round robin.
Dude, you can't. I'm against the wall, man.
Okay,
what the hell?
I guess Badger's. It's going to be a double round
robin. No. Damn it, you got me. No, I'm not confirming any information. But if I were to make a joke prediction, again, I want to hammer it home. This is a joke prediction. We're the only region that doesn't do Fearless. We actually say, fuck that. We're going to do best of ones, single round robin. That's what everyone wants. In fact, another bracket. Let's do the same bracket that we did last time. It went over really well.
That's what the people want.
That's what the people want. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. No, keep your eyes, though, on socials. I'm hoping that by next week's episode, we will be able to actually talk about what the changes are. I will say, I think thumbs up. Cool. Neat. Okay. Neat is what I'll say. There we go. Other information, other global news. Sticking with NA information here, we had a retirement happen this past week, and it's one of the GOATs. It's one of the OGs, Badger. We're not going to be able to cheer for this guy anymore. Who is he?
Wild Turtle with the Quadro. Wild Turtle with the Panta.
It's his debut you're in game. Trouble.
I mean, Chaos retired years ago at this point, so that's irrelevant at the moment, but it is what it is.
True. Yeah, Wild Turtle has been around in the scene for way longer than I have, longer than most people that still stick with League of Legends. Shout out to any OGs that do remember his debut game where he got that pentakill.
Well, no, that was his debut in the LCS, but Wild Turtle actually debut. Predates the LCS.
Yes, he does.
He was a mid laner.
He was a mid laner with the original like Cloud9 core, and then he played AD for TSM, and they brought Sneaky in from another team.
I think the first professional game he had was as a sub for TSM for Reggie in one of the IPLs way back in the day. And he played Ryze, and I can't remember who the other one he played was, but he won.
All I know is 14 years is what this dude was in the league, and I'm that's a weird thing to think about.
I did not actually, honest to God, did not know about his history before that debut TSM AD carry game. I mean, that what a history to have. This is like
for both TSM and CLG actually before he CLG.
Yeah.
I think it was the CLG. It, I have to like him now. Second roster. I forget what the was it CLG. Crap, I forgot the name of the second roster, the second NA roster.
CLG Red? No, that was that the EU one?
Was it Red? No, there was CLG the EU, and then there was CLG... either Red or Black. Red.
Red, actually, Black does sound kind of... Again, I didn't watch back then, but just tangentially, I've heard like stories from CLG folk about stuff like that. Either way, Wild Turtle officially announced his retirement. He was working with Shopify as kind of like a positional coach slash like player coach. He had competed... He was playing last year, right? Didn't B-Boy replace him after he like got visa issue sorted, but Wild Turtle got a couple games? I'm pretty sure, So, ripped to one of the GOATs. It's always hard to say goodbye. But, you know, there's a lot of competition. There's a lot of young blood coming into the scene. Players like Yan, players like Masu. It's tough to have the drive to keep competing and keep at the level that you have to be to take spots away from guys like that that are also on the come up and looking for spots. And there's less spots than ever right now, so...
True. But hey, if we're talking about young blood coming up to challenge Wild Turtle, I heard there's some new talent coming through the NACL pipeline. There's a team called Near Airport, which has a lot of hopes.
Heard about them.
Their AD carry is supposed to be some hot stuff.
Dude, a lot of really promising players. There's one in the mid lane. I think maybe he got like a couple of games at like tier one, maybe as a sub or something. Pobelter.
Yeah, the notorious POV.
The jungler. He's pretty washed, actually. Spica. Here that his team is still sleeping somewhere at Worlds. Top lane TF Blade. Support is Bio Daddy, and then AD carry double lift. That's right, Near Airport confirmed for the NACL. Great segue, RMC. Now give a little context for the listeners about like why this is a big deal that they're here, because maybe they weren't gonna be.
Yeah, so this year, for those of y'all who might not follow North American tier 2 and tier 3, for the first time, tier 2 has been, you qualify into tier 2, into the NACL through an open qualifier, which I believe was a 64 team tournament. Anybody could apply. And so, of course, the savior of NA had to apply and make a team, by which I mean TF Blade. No, I'm kidding. Double Lift had to make a team of former pros and all that to actually qualify through. And they smashed. They dominated the open qualifiers into tier 2. But there was some question marks of whether they were actually going to compete in tier 2, because I believe Biofrost is in school right now, so there was some potential scheduling issues. I know Double Lift was quite outspoken about that, so the fact that they have decided to actually play in NACL is going to be a really cool thing, in that yes, it's a whole bunch of ex-pros, but I do think having, you know, we always talk about like, oh, how good are these players nowadays, but we're about to find out, are they better than our upcoming talent?
Yeah, this is the time to prove it. Because a lot of like people that just watch Doublelift stream, they cheered for him on TSM, Team Liquid, and then left when he did. probably don't even know who Masu is. Or right, okay, that's a little higher level. They definitely don't know who freaking Lens is down at the NACL level. So we'll see if any of those guys down there can compete. I will say Nierport was performing better at the OQs than I expected. They did not drop a single game on their way to qualify through the Open Qualifier Tournament and make it into the NACL. I don't know if a team has done that before. The OQs have been going on for about 2 years now because NACL is like a promotion relegation tournament where you can lose your spot in the league to a team from the Open Qualifiers coming in. And now it actually goes up too. It's a really cool like kind of joint league where you can promote into it from the OQs. You can also promote into the LTA at the end of the year, a fight for a Disguised Toasts team. But yeah, the very impressive that they were able to do it. I didn't think they could, honestly, but they proved me very wrong. Very, very wrong. But yeah, that's all the global news that we have for right now. Let us know if we missed anything. I know that's we just didn't get any EU news. I know that there were things happening, but just in the sake of I didn't have enough time to throw that information in here on the doc. We'll cover a lot of the EU stuff going into next week's episode, but I know that like roster shakeups and stuff are happening over there too. So keep your ears peeled for future updates there. But if there is anything that you want to talk about in the immediate future, join our community Discord. You can find a link in the description wherever you are listening. And if you want to help support the pod, we have a Patreon and we have a merch shop, league-rundown-shop.fourthwall.com. Appreciate anything that you throw our way. Also happy to have you join the community. But with that said, let's get into First Stand Finals Weekend. Ba-ba-bum! The first international tournament of the year. The first time we've ever seen this exact tournament. Don't blink. It's not MSI from 2015 to 2018. It's a completely different thing. wholly unique.
Pay no attention to the tournament behind the curtain.
Yeah. built on the shoulder of giants. That's what this was. We had two semifinals and then one finals played out over the weekend. And I had to catch these after the fact. I wasn't able to watch them all live because I was traveling. Hence why last week's episode audio was a little rough. But I'll be able to chime in with some of my thoughts from after the weekend. But I want to start off with the first series, KC versus CFO. And RMC, I'm going to tee you up for this one. How did things shake out in this best of five?
Not great. The Oysters kind of went off a little bit in the beginning, and not in a good way. They kind of spalled. I don't know what happened in game one and game two. It ended up going, okay, spoilers, it went up going the full five games, but it kind of shouldn't have. Game really one, the final score was like 3-13. It felt like Oysters just didn't show up. And I don't know what on earth they were doing. They were just incredibly passive and just let the game happen to them. And game two, when I saw that draft, it looked like they got desperate. And they were just like I don't know what this draft is. This isn't a typical Flying Oysters draft. So I was kind of like, oh, okay. They look really, really lost. Like Hongkyu and Galio was kind of like, why are we taking our mechanical mid laner and popping him on something that can't do anything? You know, like it was really weird. And then they finally woke up for game three. And they almost did the reverse sweep, game three and game four. That looked like more typical CFO, you know, like put Doggo on something that can carry, put Hongkyu on something more mechanical, like the Akali, like the Chisana, give Junja something that has a lot of agency, like his Nidalee in game three. They almost made it back, but props to Carmine Corp. As much as I have predicted them to not succeed, I think Carmine was the team that probably impressed me the most this tournament. Yes, Hanwha won it, but Carmine had the lowest expectations coming in for me and performed incredibly well. They actually clutched out.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially with, I think, a way that I didn't expect. Last week on the episode, I didn't think we would see much more surprises from Carmine Corp at this point. True, I was like, okay, just double down on what you're good at, and I think you can still make finals. But like the Neela plus Senna combo, that's really exciting. Cool to see that. Yeah. I mean, yes, it was versus Zeri Yumi, so like, those two are never going to be able to punish you for your weaknesses in lane. But I still liked the fact that they were adapting. Like Caitlyn Karma, really oppressive ranged bot lane versus the Kalista Renata, which a lot of people just kind of accepted. Oh, that's like the strongest bot lane. Yeah, yes, that's the one the CFO won, and they were able to kind of find their leads. But I liked the creativity that KC was bringing to the draft phase.
And Kalista and Targamas won that bot lane. I mean, it wasn't Doggo and Kaiwing who carried that particular game. That was more Honkyu on the Akali. So yeah, I do like that they've been doing that. They're willing to pull that out. Kalista has that pocket Draven as well, which for some odd reason, we're not seeing really any other AD carries pull out. So yeah, huge props to KC. I think they deserve to win that series. Yeah, but it doesn't kind of take away my disappointment a little bit from the way CFO just crapped the bed in game one and game two.
Yeah. And their story was so exciting because, like, this would have been such a big moment for the region. The first official year or split that the LCP exists. Remember that this is a brand new thing for them. Not only is LTA brand new, we had a whole final completed merger of all of the teams from, or kind of regions coming together there. What was the last one? Was it VCS was the last one to be added? Or was it PCS?
So the LJL and VCS both got added into the PCS, which had prior to that included the LCO, Oceania, as well as like the Southeast Asian region.
Yes. So now they're all under one umbrella. You think it's rough for North American fans and South American fans? You don't know nothing. those different like regions are fighting each other for one representative spot. And shout out to the Oysters. I think they can leave with their heads held high. They pushed KC to the very brink. Almost made that finals. Would have been exciting to see. But KC did it, baby. I mean, the European team, I said that they could be a dark horse in this tournament, and they started off shaky, but they really did turn it around. And Badger, I don't know if you, like, at any point were thinking that KC were washed, but there were moments where it's like, they could be the worst team at the event early on, and then I think it's cool at least to see them bounce back.
Yeah, I mean, it's... So I think the big thing for KC for this tournament is just getting Vladdy and Kalista that experience that Kana, Yike, and Targamas have already had throughout their careers up to this point. Just getting them that exposure, those deep playoff runs on international stage. I mean, even if it's just five teams, you still went to the finals and you played an LCK team, and you showed your best performances against all of the other regions. I mean, besides the LCK, we don't have to dwell on that too much.
There's later. Another team that beat the blue wall here. Let's not forget them.
You're right. Hey, NA greater than you, baby.
NA,
we just don't talk about the rest of the tournament. So.
Second best team because of that?
But like, when they picked Neela Sena in game five against Flying Oyster, I'm like, oh, so this is how they're going out this series. Okay. all right, sure. Like, whatever. So, but to my surprise, they actually won that game. And then, I mean, we'll talk about it later, but them winning game one against Hanwha, I'm like, whoa, wait, hold on a second. Let's.
Yeah.
Maybe I should pump the brakes on EU hate train at the moment and see what's going on, and then balance and order was restored immediately after that. But
true.
I still think it's a really good thing for this team going back into Europe. I mean, we've seen how the international success helped G2 for those years when they were at the peak of their power and they were winning MSI and they made world finals and everything like that. I'm not saying that's the same case that can be made for KC here, but just like, you got these two promising young players in your carry roles on this team and just getting them that extra exposure to the best competition in the world is going to do wonders for this team going through the rest of the year.
Absolutely. I mean, like, what it was Bwipo's first year that they made finals, right? Was it Caps' first year or was it his second?
Technically, that was his second year because he joined in 17.
Okay, yes, it's a while ago now. But like, those guys were young when they made that World's Finals. And I think KC, not to overhype, but I actually think it is relatively fair to draw some parallels of this is the furthest that EU has gotten at an international tournament in a long time. Yes, it's the first Fearless tournament. Yes, it was single round robin into a, you know, knockout series, and you were arguably in on paper against the weakest region, just because Top Esports kind of shat the bed. Still, LPL carries a lot of weight behind it, just as like a strength for a region. But hey, I still give it to him. Credit where it's due. So we'll keep our eyes closely on KC going forward. Any final thoughts to wrap things up, RMC?
Yeah, so they're glad it's not a G2 stranglehold over the region. The blue wall stands strong, but there's a better wall than the blue wall. And that's the fourth wall, league-rundown-shop.fourthwall.com. Come and support the better wall by checking out the website and the merch on that website.
Wow, what a plug. What a plug. And also, I forgot, I was going to plug it too. Happy that you reminded me. Because I was like, you know what? As soon as Badger said the EU hate train, we need to get like a mug with Badger wearing a conductor hat that says like all aboard the EU hate train or something like that. You're the conductor.
I'm the conductor of the EU hate train. You're right. It's been me the whole time.
It's the whole time. And you would have gotten away with it, too, if it weren't for KC being good at League of Legends,
those
I guess.
Those pesky kids on KC.
Those pesky kids.
Those actual pesky kids.
Let's talk about the other side of that semifinal bracket, because KC, what's a finalist if you don't have an opponent? Their opponent that they got to face was the winner of this best of five series. And wouldn't you know it, this one's over pretty quickly, Badger. I'm going to see you up to talk about this one.
What other semifinals? I thought Hanwha Life was just automatically seeded into the grand finals.
No, technically this happened. Technically, there is record of this series taking place.
Is this why Mizell isn't here?
I think so, actually. No, Mizell wishes he were here greatly so that he could probably yell at Top Esports and their performance. But Badger, instead, let's talk about the positive side, because HLE made quick work.
Yeah, I was able to get a good night's sleep after watching the series. That was the positive that came out of this.
East Coast, damn.
Nah, waking up in the wee hours of the morning. I mean, I was watching Formula One anyways, so like I knew I was going to be up at that point for the race and qualifying and everything. So it just made it the cherry on top that I could have this on my other monitor while I was going on. But this is, remember the MTV show Bully Beatdown? I feel like this is like the league equivalent of it at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, none of these games were close. Like, game two, Peanut went 16-1 and 16 on Vi,
yeah,
and Zekka went 15-2 and 14 on Akali, and
dude,
a 29-minute game.
That game should have been over in 20 minutes. It was insane.
Peanut had 32 KP and a 29-minute game in an international semifinal against the team that just won the LPL.
Yep.
Do I need to say more, or does that state it? Like,
I mean, props to 369 for trying to keep Top into that game, but that one was very much over very fast. And I would say the breakout performers in general, Peanut had a hell of a series here, dude. Like, just across the board, his Maokai
Peanut
was clean.
Peanut did it. He showed that he's not a fraud on the international stage.
Yeah, he did it. But yeah. Also, I don't know if anybody else agrees with this. I think special shout out to Delight. Oh my God. Oh, it is a delight to watch this
Delight
support play the game.
Oh my God. Delight is so good. I kind of knew coming into this, like, okay, at some point Delight's going to break out, and it's going to be a treat to see it, especially after, you know, the Gen G disappointment. I feel like I've mentioned this before. The Gen G disappointment, the Hanwha disappointment last year, just all the circumstances coming together and having it be so that Delight is showing that probably the best support in the world right now, honestly. Like,
best engaged support, I will say for sure. Delight on engaged champions is like, his Alistar should be permaban.
Yes.
Pick that against him, do not let him get it, and then let Fearless do the rest for you. But, that thing's fierce. And Crisp was not up to the task. Like, Crisp was constantly getting picked, constantly, even when he would look for his own engages, he just was like, the team wasn't there to follow him up. It really didn't feel like Top Esports was a well-oiled machine. Like, they were individually maybe decent players, but Jackie Love Crisp kept showing the weakness of, like, they were one of the worst bot lanes in this entire event, and they did not fix it for the semifinals. Viper and Delight ran over them, and then again, when it came time for HLE to engage, to fight, oh my god, they just pulled the trigger at the same time. It's like watching a pack of wolves hunt a, you know, like a llama. It's like not even fast. It's just like... But RMC, what were your big takeaways from this one? Because we all expected HLE to win this one, but did they do it? Did they still impress you with how they did it, knowing the expectation?
So this is the problem. Like, I can't remember if I said this last week on the podcast, but I really do feel like First Stand was a game of throws. It's like whichever team is throwing harder or performing worse more than who's performing better. And Hanwha Life was doing incredibly well. So when you combine a team, the team that is failing the worst with the team that is doing the best, you get these sort of games where it's like 38 to 14 score lines, you know, like it's just a slaughter. And you all brought up like Crisp kind of crapping bed, but I thought Kanavi was kind of puking over himself as well. Like he was just not there half the time. Like his early game pressure was completely negligible. And then when he tries to make any plays, it keeps getting stifled and stymied. And at some point I'm just like, why are you making a play here? Why are you going down to bot lane when bot lane's just getting run over? Like, go play for 369. He's the one guy who's not just dying and killing over. If you can get 369 ahead, you at least have somewhere to play through. Instead, it felt like, you know, Kanavi just wanted to stay home in Korea and never wanted to go back to China. So he's trying to like, get his season or his visa revoked. Ano.
Damn. Yeah, it's tough to see top esports bomb out. Anytime it's LPL versus LCK, I guess now we can't say anytime. Usually it's a banger. This was not a banger. This was a slaughter, and it was HLE making fast work of a continually slumping top esports that just couldn't get it together when it mattered. So that means top esports and LPL bowed out early. They were the third to sit, not the second, and definitely not the first. We got that one, baby. But the last to sit and the first to stand comes up with the finals. Hanwha Life Esports versus Carmine Core. That's right. EU versus LCK at an international finals. EU's only ever lost to LPL teams at international finals. Is this their time? Is this their moment? Is this where they can actually do it? Wait, game one. Oh, shit. They're getting slaughtered. Oh, shit. It's not cool.
Game one, they won. Oh,
no, they won game one. They did so well game one.
They're coming back. They came back in game one. They actually won it. Holy shit. How'd they pull that out of their ass? And then the rest of the series happened.
So here's my theory. Okay, Hanwha Life just got used to kind of smacking down on weak teams who didn't know what on earth they were doing. Mm-hmm. And then Carmine Corp comes along and actually plays the damn game.
I think Delight, this was like the only bad Alistar game that I remember seeing from Delight here, where it started off strong, but then... I will say the reason they lost that game is because they're fighting a dragon. It's fine. Everything's fine, HLE. You don't have to push for more. And then Delight goes all in onto, I think he was trying to get onto Kalist, but he wasn't quite able to make it. He's like going through Vladdy, who had Talia's like rocks and everything. Targimus has the Rakan charm. And Delight just goes too far forward, doesn't land any kind of combo. Zekka tries to follow up and then gets popped on the Azir. And then Kalist gets like a crazy ult combo and like everyone dies. And then it's like, oh. And then KC just got to run over the game from there. It's like, oh no. that was like one moment, one team fight that kind of caused all the dominoes to fall. So I don't even know if it's like they weren't used to they were just used to running over teams. It's just like, they got overconfident in we will win everything we look for because we have been. Which, actually, now that I say it, that is basically the same as what you're saying. But it was a moment that happened later in the game, not like early on, which I think is what woke them up for the rest of the series. Do we want to talk about game two, though? Because HLE were able to bounce back. So, RMC, let's get your thoughts first on game two. Game one was a comeback to an extent for KC, but they didn't really get many opportunities in that game two.
Yeah, and game two just felt like a very typical, like a bounce back game from Hanwha, where they're like, okay, we're a little bit too sloppy game one. We played game two really by the book. It was just really, really standard. They were just slowly strangling out Carmine. The final score was 11-2, but when you look at how the game played out, it didn't feel like Hanwil was just smacking Carmine around, which is a really steady game where they just accrued the kill here and there and just, you know, solely got gold everywhere. But it was a very controlled game from Hanwil. At no point did it even feel like Carmine had any sort of way back into the game whatsoever.
Yeah. And Badger, I don't know if you have any thoughts on this. This was the first in, unfortunately, a string here of, I think, Vladdy underperformances. Or I don't even want to call it that. I just want to say Zeka just bodied him. Like, Zeka just popped off.
The Oyster series is an example of what happens when it goes really well for them. The the Hanwha series is an example of what happens when they're playing against a more experienced team and they just get slapped around the entire time. I mean,
yeah.
Zeka just did a really good job of like neutralizing Vladdy in like every single game, to the point that game four, they're just like, just play Galio.
Yeah. Don't die, Vladdy, for the love of God. Just play Galio. Stop dying. And, you know, he kind of brought it back to Vladdy's credit, but by that point, the bot lane is what started to fall apart. Because, dude, the Gragas flex pick, that was kind of spicy. Did not expect to see Gragas support.
The fact that we had the little flex come through was fantastic. I love seeing stuff like this in international tournaments. I mean, when did they take it? They took it on 2, right? Like 2-3?
I'm not remembering exactly offhand what the draft order was for that one. I just remember
they picked it near the end. It was really end. Yeah,
they took it 4-5.
Yeah, so they actually had they basically showed their entire draft at that point when they picked the Gragas. So there was like no real flex.
Oh yeah,
I remember it was like I was thinking, are they flexing? Is it Camille support or is it Gragas support? That was like the only question I had for Hanwha's draft. So it was pretty late. Yeah.
Oh, was that where the Kennen came as last pick for Casey?
Kennen was the Renata R3. Renata was the R5.
Renata was R5.
Which I thought was not a great idea into Gragas. I think they were predicting a Camille support when they did that.
Interesting. Well, either way, I think it's cool that they were able to pull that out because, like, let's see, even say they lose that game, well, Gragas isn't pickable in the top lane for the next series. Yeah. So that
is full fearless. It's not Hanwha Life just dicking around. You can't say that like they did against Team Liquid now.
Oh my God. You know what I just realized?
Oh?
A legitimate strategy in a best of 5 fearless. Let's say that you're playing against the best mid laner in the world. You could draft 5 of their mid lane picks, completely int and troll game 1 with 5 mid laners, and then for the rest of the series, you know, just keep banning them.
Well,
and they can't play any of those.
To be fair, it's kind of hard against the best mid laner in the world. Faker has shown that he can play Irelia and Olaf, so.
Ah, true. Master E, he'll pull that shit out.
Oh, true, yeah. That's a deep cut.
All right, well, HLE did walk away with this one. KC put up the best that they could, but it was not enough to overcome the mountains. So, Badger, congratulations. An LCK team is the best in the world. But what I want to ask you now is, where do you think this ranks? If we had to do like a tier list of all-time best teams in the world, where does this current HLE roster land? Are they S-tier, A-tier, B-tier? And then maybe, like, who's around them and who's clearly above them? Those are the type of other questions that come to mind.
I mean, you have to go... Like, S-tier at this point for me, the only teams that would be, like, S-tier at this point for me would be 2014 Samsung White.
Sure.
Hey, Team or
TSM beat them.
Yeah, you're right. They won a game. It was game 3 in the series, and they were kind of trolling, but that's beside the point.
You didn't have to give additional information. I didn't ask for that, actually.
I mean, ball knows ball, or ball don't lie, or whatever you want to call the situation. I mean, it's like 2014 Samsung White, 2015 SKT. Probably that, like, early Damwon, one of those teams would be in there. Like 2019, like 2020 Damwon would be on that list. I mean, I think this Hanwha team, I would equate to about like 2016 Koo Tigers kind of level.
Oh, okay.
Of just like a really good team. I mean, we're basing this just off of one international tournament. I mean, technically speaking, last year they lost to Bilibili in quarters.
True.
So
they didn't have Zeus. You know,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, but now that they've got, with especially with the upgrade from Doran to now having Zeus on the roster, that's kind of the SMEB piece in all of it with Koo. I mean, ironically enough, Pina was also on that team. So actually, this is hey, very apt. This is a very apt thing. I'd say they're like, yeah, 2016 Koo Tigers, like 2022 DRX kind of range at this point.
Yeah, I'm feeling 2022 DRX. That's like one of the teams that I'd put around them in terms of not just like power level, but vibes. And a big part of that is Zekka is still the mid laner. And I feel like Zekka and his place on this champ pool, it's pretty iconic for what he pulls out. Mm-hmm. I mean, Peanut's no Pyosik, but that aside.
Yeah, you're right.
Now the next question I have for you, and RMC, I want to get your thoughts too. Actually, RMC, I'll ask you first to give Badger time to think about it.
Okay.
Where does this put Zeus in all-time top laners? Because not only now is he a three-time world champion, he changes team and wins first stand on a new team.
Oh, yeah, that's actually a really good point that he's actually won that many times. I mean, yeah, I'm still thinking of like SMEB from, you know, that T1 roster, was it 2018 or thereabouts?
SMEB was...
Yeah, SMEB felt better, but it's hard to argue with the results that Zeus has managed to consistently produce across multiple teams and years. So... yeah, I think as a top laner, Zeus probably has the most arguments going his way. I don't know if it's biased of me to be thinking that, like, yeah, that I still think I put SMEB above him, but I'm going to be fully honest. There's a lot of bias into that one, and it might be rose tinted glasses quite a lot.
Also, I do want to clarify that technically three-time world's finalist. He didn't win the first time in 2022.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, he only won worlds twice. Like, yeah. Right when I said, I was like, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. He did win EWC last
he made it to three straight world finals and won two of them. They didn't win MSI.
They made third 2023, third 2024. They had kind of like a cursed run at MSI. They lost to BLG both times, right? I'm pretty sure BLG was like the wall for them. Yeah.
BLG
all right. All that to say, I just wanted to clarify for you.
Which helps. I do think that makes me more comfortable saying that I would place SMEB above him then.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, Badger, I want to get your thoughts well.
I think at this point, I would say he is past SMEB. I mean, he just needs. I won't say it until he. Until they have a good performance at Worlds this year is when I would admit that Zeus is past SMEB. Hell, I still need him to have that 2015 Marin just absolute fuck you season.
Marin couldn't maintain form.
That's the thing. Marin has the greatest single year like of a top laner ever, but like Zeus could threaten that pretty easily this year if this team keeps firing on all the cylinders that they need to, because there's like Zeus is like S++ tier at this point, and there's nobody in S+ tier, and you have to struggle to argue to have people in S tier for like international at this point. The state of top lane is like really weak, like globally at this point, and Zeus is just that much further ahead of everybody.
And to give context for everybody listening, you notice how far back both RMC and Badger had to go to list competition, because Zeus has only been playing in like LCK since 2022. It's been I guess 2021 he had like a sprint in spring, but like from 2022 onward is basically when he's made his run. MSI and Worlds every single year since 2022. Let's just say this.
He's made world finals every single year that he's been a full-time starting roster player.
And he's won the majority of those.
So I will say, though, that first of all, like for serious, if he wins the MSI, that'll be enough for me to make him number one in my head.
Yeah.
But there is another player who I think I would want to put in S tier as well, but just doesn't have the results to show for it.
Darshan.
And that's... in my heart, maybe. But in my head, I was thinking Bin, actually.
Oh, like, okay.
Yeah, like, we always talk about Bin whenever international events rolls around. I mean, good enough to be in that conversation, but he doesn't perform on the international stage. And I don't know if that's him or his team, right?
Like, I think that's one of the knacks that I have on Bin, is that just his international performance has never been there. At least
for me,
games that absolutely matter. Like when he team's back against the wall, he needs to come out and perform. It feels like
specifically grand finals against Korean teams.
Yeah, yes. Clutch factor is missing. If it was a world ranking of 1v1s, Bin's probably up.
Yeah.
But since this is a team game, and we have the track record to look at all the international events, But fun little game to play, because I think Zayas is up there for me. He's like my one of my Mount Rushmores for sure for top lanes of all time. But I think that he's actually kind of taken that spot as the number one. So shout out Zayas, shout out the rest of HLE. Any final thoughts about our first stand winners and the current number one team in the world? Badger, let's start with you. Either them or KC, or just like first stand thoughts in general, because that was the first time seeing a tournament like that.
Yeah, it makes me miss the charm that like the 2015 through 2017, hell, you could even consider like 2014, like All-Stars / MSI feeling has. But at the same time, we did condensed splits just for this. Like, I don't know. I'm still on the fence about it. I need to see another sample of it next year. I'm not going to judge it based off of one tournament, but it left more to be desired, I'll say.
I think that's fair. It scratched an itch, but it didn't satisfy. You still need some ointment added to that one. And also, you should conduct a conversation with your physician. Consult an expert. RMC, let's get your thoughts.
I need to see a physician because it gave me a rash watching this. More than scratching an itch, it just bugged me. Like it just felt very lacking. And I think the lack of double elimination was what really made me feel that way in this tournament. It was just, it always felt, like we didn't get to see the best of everything, and it's just one shot kind of deal. That said, I think TES and the LPL as a region need to take a long, hard look at themselves after this. This is a huge wake-up call for them. Low-stakes wake-up call, but one that they'll need to look at. And I'm very, very happy, very mixed feelings about Carmine and how they performed. But in general, I am happy for Europe that Carmine did well.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that makes Europe a little bit more internally competitive so that it's not always just the G2 reign. And hey, if G2 wins, that's fine. I just want there to be other potential options rather than like just a one-team region.
I agree wholeheartedly. Good for the region that they made another finals. Good for the region that it wasn't G2. Yep. And also, good for us to watch some League of Legends. Even if it wasn't the format that we wanted or wasn't exactly scratching that itch that is there, I still think it was cool to have, and I'd rather it exist than not. So count your blessings, everybody. But with that said, that's a wrap on the first stand finals, which means we got one more thing to do today, and that is play a little game. RMC, I'm going to pass the baton over to you. This is your podium, because this was your brainchild, what we're going to do next year. We're going to play a little game. So explain to me what the game is.
So last week, while we were recording the podcast, I realized that there are five teams, and that League is a five-player game. So I challenged everybody.
Whoa, crazy.
Dude, it's a big number. I can't even count that.
Okay, Jin Mains, chill. But basically, there's five teams. There's five roles. And so I actually challenged the folk here on the podcast to using one player from each team to make a team. So like a first stand team with one player from each of the teams. Best team you can possibly make. And how we went about that, I think, would would be the interesting part, because it kind of reflects how we think about the players. And yeah,
and let me tell you, this was hard.
Harder than we thought it was going
to
be.
Not easy to do. In my internal dialogue, it went from, oh, this is really fun, oh, this is really cool, to, oh my God, I have to put this, oh no. but that's part of the fun, right? Is that you can't have a perfect team. You're going to have a couple duds, most likely, or at least ones that you aren't as happy about as others. So, RMC, since you had the idea, do you want to go first or do you want to go last? I'll give you the option.
Sure. I don't mind going first.
All right. Let's hear it. So you're going to run through your roster and then just give kind of like the explanation as to why you went with these picks and also some of the pain points maybe, and ones that were like almost not going to make it.
Which one made you feel the worst? Which pick made you feel the worst?
Point at this roster where it hurts.
Well, okay, do you want me to go from like top to bottom or like top to support, or do you want me to go like the way, like the order I actually was drafting them in my head?
Ooh. Let's run through the roster and then give me... Oh, actually, no. I think it is actually more fun if you just reveal it based on how you came up with the list. So,
okay.
However you feel, but I would lean more the latter.
Okay, so my thinking was I wanted Junji as my jungler because I thought he was the best early game jungler in the tournament. Okay, I know that's a bit of a leap, and like there, okay, Peanut's probably better, but also HLE had better players for me to pick, so I wanted Junji as my jungler. So that's CFO off the board and Junji in the jungle. Then I wanted one of the solo laners from HLE because I thought they were incredibly good, Zeus and Zekka. Now, Zekka really impressed me throughout the tournament, and even in the grand finals against KC, he was absolutely popping off against TES. He was just crushing them, whereas Zeus didn't have the best series against TES. So I went Zekka mid. Then looking at who could possibly give Zeus, the father of gods, king of gods, who could give him grief? That's going to be my top laner. And it was 369 on top esports. Oh, no. I went, oh, that wasn't who I had on my cards. But you know what?
You gotta pick someone.
Yep, and he did give Zeus grief. So I was like, okay, so he's the second best option to top lane. That's my bot lane. And here's the thing. I left bot lane intentionally for last because I thought among all the AD carries, actually, I thought all of them were pretty close. We had a lot of really good AD carries at this tournament. I think, yeah, Yon really impressed me. Doggo really impressed me, but you had Viper. The only AD carry I knew I didn't want was Jackie Love. And that's fine. Ooh, I had 369. Yeah. So I kind of ignored the bot lane first and went for my support after thinking that, because I was like, okay, any AD carry I'm happy with and I already got TS off the way. This was the tough part. I have KC and I have Team Liquid left for supports. So I have Core JJ or Targimus.
Yep.
And I'm going to be honest, I think Targimus performed slightly better, but I believe in Core JJ and his consistency in general. So I took Core JJ.
Arguably, Targimus was still one of the weakest, if not the weakest, performer on KC outside of the finals where Vladdy kind of disappointed. But yes.
Yeah, so I went with Core JJ, and I took Kalista also because Kalista pulled Neela out and made it look good. So he's got that random factor in him, and I am happy to take that randomness in my AD carry and stability on my support.
Okay. All right, I think sound logic. It is just funny. Like, I think we're all going to echo this. Picking a top esports player was actually pretty tough.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's,
yeah,
mean,
that
actually
was my fear. And that was my thing in all of this, too. It's just like, God. Wait, now, what limb do I just have to just admit is going to be weaker than all of the other ones just because?
Yeah. Yeah. And I went with a very different route for mine. But there's similarities between all three of ours. So Badger, I'll let you go next here. What limb did you have to cut? Yeah,
so I figured 369, you know, the one that's I don't want to say the least useful that you figure out, but like, I mean, it is top lane in a nutshell. I was just like, okay, I'm gonna sacrifice my top laner to the TES gods and then just play around the rest of the roster. There's one that you can build that way. So I went with 369 top lane, Yike in the jungle, Zekka in mid lane, just because I thought, like, yeah, we were talking like Zeus up, but like Zekka was clearly the best mid laner at this tournament as well.
Amen, brother.
So and I did not want to take APA or Hong or Vladdy just due to performance, or because I would have taken Viper, but that meant I would have had to take APA. So I took Yon and Kaiwing in the bot lane.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we're very similar because we have almost the exact same, just our solo lane swapped. The way I approached mine is I said, I think the best player at the tournament is Zeus. I want to go for Zeus as my top lane. Ooh. I think that the best player on the worst team, in fact, the only good player on the worst team is Yon. So I don't want anybody else from Team Liquid. So that was my thought process. Was like, okay, it's going to be Zeus and Yon. I think that's easy. Now how do I fill in the spots? I ended up going with Kaiwing as support because I was like, first off, Kaiwing and Yon just sounds like a fun lane. God, I would love to see that lane play together. And also, it opens up Yike in the jungle, which me and Badger agree on. And then I had to go Cream in mid lane. So basically, mine and Badger are the exact same, except swap Cream for Zekka, swap Zeus for 369. And I think arguably...
Can I just go ahead and say, you're fucking insane for wanting to Cream willingly.
Yep.
You know, and looking at it, especially after the weekend... I think Badgers is correct, but I didn't change this after the weekend. I'm being ethical. I mean, honest. That this is what I drafted last week for what we were going to cover, but we didn't have enough time on last week's episode. So
I like how Badger and I were just like, okay, which limb do we cut off? And Kang is just like, I'll just blow up the abdomen. I don't need anything that makes my limbs. Like, bye-bye torso.
Lieutenant, my liver shot anyway.
I was predisposed.
Like, I'm liking the Zeus, I'm liking the Yon, I'm liking the Kaiwing, yep. I can live with the Yike, and then, like, Cream?
Hey, there's gotta be a dud somewhere, right? And, I picked arguably the most important role, so that's what we got. Shout-outs, let's run through some of the other podcast members. Bickle had Zeus, Junja from CFO, same as RMC, with Cream in the mid lane, let's go. Kalist and poor JJ bot
the weekend, so
yeah,
that's true.
So also the same as RMC, just top and mid swapped, which I think is hilarious. And then Mazel went for Zeus top lane, Yike jungle, Hongqiu, or okay, am I saying that right?
Yeah, Hongqiu.
Hongqiu in the mid lane, which I think, you know, nods to Hongqiu. I think it's cool that somebody actually picked him. Then Yon, AD carry, and Crisp support, which. Ooh. I think is arguably more troll than Cream, but also I'm probably in the minority there. I just want pity points. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Fair.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. Thank you, RMC. That was a really fun game.
we're still saying it's fun because, like, after last week, after I proposed and we started doing it, it suddenly became a lot less fun. So I'm glad that we can look back and say it's fun now.
Fair. Well, everybody, let us know what your roster would be. Would love to see members of the community hop in and draft their own. Reminder, it's one player from each team, and you have to build a roster of five. You cannot say, Zeus is going to play mid lane or anything like that. It's got to be in position. That would be cheating if you did the other way. But, let us know what your roster turned out to be, and it'd be fun to track that. A reminder, you can find a link to the description for the community Discord wherever you are listening to this podcast, as well as the link to support us on Patreon or through our merch shop, which RMC is...
It's league.rundown.shop/ no, league
close
dash rundown dash shop dot fourthwall.com.
There you go. There you go.
No punctuation.
Put you on the spot.
Link
now
in the description.
Just click the link. Don't trust me. Click the link.
Don't type it in.
That is, please don't go to any random websites. Now a community member is going to make one, and it's just going to bring you to a homepage of Duffy's face. As a homepage.
Wait, Jens, I realized we missed a trick here. You know what we could have done? Instead of Cream, Cream might not be the best mid laner on his team.
Yeah.
We could have gone Goon. Their coach
He
used to play for Najin.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't count. No.
As much of a Goon fan I was back in the day when he played for Najin Black Shield.
White Shield, Black Sword. Black Sword
also,
White Shield and Black. Yeah, it's fine.
None of us thought to do it, and Badger needs to get to bed. It is past his bedtime. He's a working man. He's a
little
does
Kangas know I'm about to go watch free practice one for the Chinese Grand Prix before I go to bed. So.
Well, you didn't have to tell me that. Now I'm going to keep you around for a little bit longer, but not much longer. All I got to say is thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of the League Rundown.
Pick your five players and give us 5 stars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I forgot that bit. Give us a star for every player you're going to draft for your team out of the 5 teams represented at First Stand. But the most important thing to take away from this episode is this message. We love you, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, everyone. We'll be right back.